When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Have you heard you can listen to your favorite news podcasts ad-free? Good news. With Amazon Music, you have access to the largest catalog of ad-free top podcasts included with your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or visit amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free and catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back to The Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So with gas prices where they are, and I don't know anybody who's thrilled, except for maybe ExxonMobil and Shell and BP and all of the executives there who are reaping enormous profits at our expense. But none of the people, none of the working folks I know thrilled with the cost of gas. And oh, by the way, I know where I live, the electric company is going to start gouging us just a little bit more with a massive rate increase. I saw that's coming about 32%, I think. We should see our bills go up. So it's a perfect time to go. Well, a perfect time would have been 30 years ago. But now is a perfect time to go, hey, how about some alternative energy, like maybe some solar panels like I have got on my house? And I'm sure glad I did that, you know, 10 years ago. We should be doing this across the board. Now, what's interesting is you've got a small solar company who's you've got some value saying, hey, how about we make those here or at least not with slave labor? Seems reasonable, seems rational, but no, we've got folks saying, no, we want slave labor. Here to share some thoughts on this story that I'm looking at the Wall Street Journal paper, the newspaper of the investor class. They call this Auxin Solar the most hated solar company in America. That's why I've asked our good friend Scott Paul to come talk with us. Scott is the president of the Alliance for American Manufacturing, AmericanManufacturing.org, their website. Scott, thanks for taking time for us.
Hey, Rick, it is great to be with you as always.
So the most hated solar company in America, this very small company out in California, has said, hey, you know, maybe make it here or at least somewhere that doesn't abuse its workers. Kind of refreshing to me.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there are consequences, I guess, to speaking truth to power, huh? And I guess you develop a reputation like Auxin is, which is the name of the company. It's based in California, and they manufacture there. Yeah, the background on this is something else. I mean, we, like you, I mean, I fully agree. I think solar is one of the energy sources of the future. Residential, commercial, utility scale, I think we gotta do it. You know, we have a comparative advantage of in sun in the United States of America. We're well positioned to make it a cheap form. But the problem has been the business model that the solar installers have used for a couple of decades now is to bring in cheap stuff from China. This will sound familiar. And at the expense of growing manufacturing in the United States. And this is exactly the rub, because there have been tariffs in place on some types of Chinese solar modules or the, you know, stuff that goes into making a solar panel since the Obama administration, actually for 10 years. Trump administration went a step further with tariffs in 2018. And by the way, I will say the solar installers, the solar developers, and the finishers in the United States all said the sky was going to fall when Trump put these tariffs on solar. The next year, actually, solar jobs went up, solar installations went up, the cost went down for kilowatt per hour basis for solar. And so here we have a company saying, you know what, those Chinese duties have been pretty effective. They've limited the, you know, Chinese imports of solar in the United States. But what's happening is the Chinese companies appear to be routing these solar panels through companies in Malaysia, in Vietnam, and in some other Asian countries, and then into the United States, because imports from four countries have surged and basically have replaced all the Chinese imports, and none of these countries really had had like a domestic solar manufacturing capability.
Well,
right?
That's convenient.
So, yeah, exactly. So they've all kind of been routed through there. In trade parlance, we call that circumvention, right? You're trying to work around a tariff, and it's a strategy that many have employed. And so Auxin, this company, kind of noticed this and said, you know what, this is not right. and they had the gall to file, a what's called a circumvention case at the Commerce Department, which is, by the way, routine. I mean, this happens all the time in steel and other sectors, except for this time, the solar industry has its hair on fire because its very business model is at risk here. I mean, it depends on these subsidized imports, either directly or indirectly, from China. And on top of the subsidies, which they get from the Chinese government, Rick, as you pointed out, unfortunately, the base material for a lot of these, the polysilicon, is manufactured in Xinjiang. And we know from reports and from on-the-ground evidence that much of that is made by forced labor, by Uyghurs, who are not there of their own accord in the factory. So it is it's a big challenge, and it goes back to something, and I know we have talked about this virtually every week for a while, is that we shouldn't just trade foreign oil for made in China solar. That's not a good trade-off. Let's make it here. And I think the disruption to the business model is the thing that is freaking the big solar industry out. This case, you know, it's going to take a while to decide, a few months, but there's already, you know, the big solar folks want to stop it in its tracks before it even gets started. They can't do that, by the way, but they'd like to, yeah. If they could.
But this is where not having a domestic manufacturing base, you know, is a problem. This is why, you know, I go back to the Obama years, and I remember all of my conservative friends, you know, losing their minds over, you know, we put so much money into Solyndra, and we put all this money into solar. Yeah, you have to put money into these industries to help prop them up for a short period of time. We have to be investing in this stuff to get them going, as we did with the oil industry. How many subsidies have we given the oil industry over the years? They didn't pull themselves up by the bootstraps. They didn't get, you know, investor money to do this stuff. We've been subsidizing them for decades. How about we, think about that here and build domestic capacity, because we can build them here, right? I mean, this isn't something where we need the Chinese, right?
You know, that's exactly right. And when it all shakes out, when you scale up the demand in the U.S. market, and it has been increasing quite a bit, Rick, I think, as you know, and we've seen that growth in the residential and the commercial and the utility scale. And so the demand is going to be there. The question is, where's the supply going to come from? Now, in the past, I think this is fair to say, I don't think that the installers or whoever knew that the demand was going to be here, right? Because our policy has been kind of, you know, has been up and down on this for the last couple of decades. I think it's irreversibly up now, just because the cost differential is good for solar. And so I think that's good. I think that's excellent headed into the future when you're just looking at it from a financial perspective. But the problem now is going to be that we're so dependent on these imports that the solar companies haven't done. And so here's the thing. This is what gets me. You know, the fossil fuel industry, as you know, very dependent on bringing stuff in from overseas, right? From the Middle East, from Venezuela, from the North Sea, from other places. But realized that, you know, a lot of that gets out of their control, and invested heavily in domestic production of natural gas and oil. And we've seen that surge in the United States. Obviously, that creates serious climate problems. But it showed that at least that industry kind of understand that you needed to get some domestic capacity online. you know, here's one thing that the solar folks should take as an example is like, you need to scale up your domestic capacity here. It's going to be good for your costs in the long run to be able to control more of it and not to depend on unreliable suppliers like China, and also to sacrifice your moral values in the process. And it's going to be illegal, by the way, to import things from Xinjiang that are made with the slave labor, basically starting in June.
Yeah.
So it's time to cut that stuff off and to invest here in the United States.
No, and this is where we need policy to do this. You know, and it seems to me, and look, I look at solar as something that the free market is never going to invest in, because there's no way that they're going to be able to make monthly profits off of me putting solar panels on my roof. At least I can't figure out how that's going to happen, how they're going to be able to make long-term profits off of me being energy independent. I think we as taxpayers, we as a country should be investing in huge solar farms. You know, you look at, we've got deserts. We've got massive amounts of basically worthless space where we could throw up entire massive solar farms, could probably provide energy for half the country for nothing, for just the cost of the panels. And it would be there for almost ever.
Yeah, no, you're right. Concentrated solar power and a lot of the field. I mean, there's so, again, as I said, we have a comparative advantage in sun. You know, we should be kicking butt in solar, and we are scaling it up, but we have to, you're right, we have to have that domestic production policy. But here's what the solar, you know, the critics of this trade case say, well, that's what we should do. We should have clean energy tax credits to help make the stuff here. We don't need this trade enforcement. And I say that's wrong. You need both. You got to do both, because unless you can have all the incentives in the world right here in the United States, but if those subsidized, you know, or dumped imports are coming in, those are the things that are going to get utilized by the contractors, by the installers, because they're going to make better margins.
Yeah.
So you have to level that playing field. And that does involve trade enforcement. And the unfortunate thing about this, Rick, is that there are a lot of Democrats, some of whom are progressive, who have bought hook, line, and sinker, kind of like this big solar industry argument on this trade case, and say, you know, it's like an existential threat to climate change efforts is what they are claiming, which is completely wrong. And so the problem is that a lot of these big solar companies in the United States, now there are a few that are domestic, like that have production in Ohio or are based here, but most of them are Asian or even Chinese. And so they have they have other motivations here. They want to keep their operations in Asia busy as well. They don't have that interest in locating the production in the United States. And so trade enforcement actually helps with that. We know that from steel. We know that from the battery investments that we've seen, that if you have a comprehensive policy, you can, in fact, do that stuff right here at home. It'll be close to your customers. I mean, the U.S. is going to be a massively expanding solar market over the next couple of decades.
Yeah, you're listening to the Rick Smith Show here with Scott Paul. Scott's the president of the Alliance for American Manufacturing. AmericanManufacturing.org is their website. Make sure you check that out and the incredible work that they do. Fighting for American jobs, American manufacturing, domestic production for domestic consumption. And this is one of those issues that I think is really, really important. Because you mentioned climate change. I mean, if we're going to fight climate change, the jobs have to be part of this. We need to bring this in and create those jobs here at home and make sure that people have the ability to get those. But also for me, the other important part of this is that we have control of those products, that we're making those, and that we make the replacements for it, and that they don't suck.
Right. That's right. So, I mean, you raise a couple of key points, one of which, you know, look, we know from the last couple of years that the more control you have over your supply chain, which means the more that you're making here at home, the fewer risks you're going to entail from unpredictable events, whether it's weather or some shipping bottleneck or, say, a pandemic Rick, like we just went through. And so why they haven't learned that lesson yet, God, I have a hard time understanding that. It's because they haven't necessarily had to bear the cost. Ultimately, they may. But the other thing about this is that, you know, in this quest to go solar, which I believe is very important, we should not be sacrificing other environmental values as well. The conditions under which that polysilicon in Xinjiang are produced, it's with coal-fired plants. It is very old school. So you have slave labor, you have coal-fired plants, and then you have China saying, you know what, let's route this through some other countries so it's not subject to the duties. And the installers are like, that's great because we'll make more money. And so, you know what, let's have a level playing field. Let's do this the right way. And as you suggest, let's invest heavily in this, in the capital cost, because just like with fossil fuels, oil and gas, that's what we do. You know, it's expensive to set up exploration or whatever. We should offset the costs of standing up solar in the United States, because it will be, we'll have a great ROI in terms of our climate goals and in terms of being able to get more of this for consumers who will ultimately will save money on their electricity. I'll bet you like your electricity bill a lot better since you installed the solar.
Yeah, we produce about 40% of our electricity with our panels, and I wish I could do more. Let's get Mike from Los Angeles on the phone with a question. You got a question for Scott, Mike?
No, I don't have a question. I have a comment. I studied environmental issues for 40 years since the Jimmy Carter administration. I just returned from Alaska, where I used to live. And again, it's 40 years of Reaganomics. We should have been. When Jimmy Carter said we want to get 20% renewable by the year 2000, get ourselves off fossil fuels, so we don't have to fight wars to protect imported oil. He was right on target. And then the Reagan administration came in and said, don't worry about it, we'll just import more oil. Quickly, oil is ocean sediment. It's plankton. It's 100 to 300 million years old. I studied to be a geologist in Texas, of all places, and we're running out. We've hit peak oil. But stream of consciousness, what they do in L.A. is they put the solar panels on your car, on your house or your home, and then you pay the installer or the solar panel manufacturer back instead of paying the energy bill. So, you know, we're already doing some stuff, but we need to do more. And you guys are right on the mark. It's policy. We need to go back to a sane trade policy, which the founding fathers put into place to collect tariffs to balance our trade out. So you guys are right on the money. I mean, in Germany, they're apparently putting solar panels all over the place. They're all over the place in LA right now, but we need to do more.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's stream of consciousness real quickly. I mean, that's why important elections make a difference. Elections are important. And again, we're paying for the Reagan era, for the lack of a sane trade policy, the lack of collecting trade tariffs, which funded our government, ignoring the environment, screwing trade. I hope I can say that on the air. And you know, this is 40 years later, and so elections make a big difference. But I think I'm very hopeful. I get depressed about climate change every day. Here's why I'm hopeful. I've seen people don't argue with me about climate change anymore. I studied natural history in college. I studied to be a geologist at one point. And they don't argue about it anymore because we're seeing it right in front of our eyes. If you would have told me that all the car manufacturers would have gone solar this year or last
electric
year, I'd say, no, it's not going to happen that quick. And it did. And
yeah.
I don't know what it's like in Chicago, but here in L.A., there's Teslas all over the place, and there are charging stations all over the place. No. Real quickly, I met a guy in Anchorage, Alaska, that has solar panels on his roof, and he's charging his electric car in the driveway with it. You know, in Alaska, for example, we have more solar radiation than they do in Germany. Tom Harmon talks about it a lot. Mm-hmm. So it's totally doable. You guys are making the right comments, and I think we can turn the corner. You know, I'm sorry, this is why I'm a Democrat. We need to get the House and the Senate back and maintain the White House, and we'll get things done.
There you go. Thanks, Mike.
Appreciate
it.
Pressure our congressmen and legislatures.
Yep.
Yeah. Thank you.
Appreciate the call, Mike. No, I mean, Mike's spot on. I mean, I go back to that moment Reagan ripped the solar panels off the White House. Yep, that was our commitment to oil for the next 40 years.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we invented this technology. We had it on our house of government, and now we depend on slave labor in a place halfway across the world to bring the stuff back to the United States. It is that's absolutely crazy, and Mike is right. So, you know, the point about Germany is a very good one. Because if Germany is not a low-cost country, as you know, Rick, right? It has strong unions, it has strong environmental regulations, but it found a way to scale up solar and to manufacture it domestically because it had a policy in place to not only bring solar online, but to produce it in Germany. By the way, Germany doesn't get nearly as much sunshine as most parts of the United States. So if they can do it there, we can do it here. I mean, it's as simple as that. It just takes policy, but it takes that level playing field on trade, which is why this case needs to work its way through its process without interference from these outside parties.
So last question, you know, what do we do about it? I mean, clearly we don't want this to push through, but we want to make sure that we get it right. What should people be doing?
Rick, that's a great question. We have a petition on our website right now at AmericanManufacturing.org to make sure that the Commerce Department knows that we believe that they should conduct a full and thorough investigation of this and ignore all the noise that's out there about the sky is falling on this, because it certainly is not. We need to do the right thing. We need to make sure our trade laws are enforced and that we're making those solar panels right here in the United States. But AmericanManufacturing.org, we have the petition, and they're going to start this investigation any day now, and they'll conclude it in August. So time is of the essence.
Great stuff. Scott, I appreciate the time. As always, great talk with you. I appreciate you taking time for us.
Likewise, Rick. Appreciate it. Appreciated caller Mike as well. He made some great points.
Good stuff. Our good friend Scott Paul, president of the Alliance for American Manufacturing. Again, make sure you check out the website, AmericanManufacturing.org. Sign the petition. Help out that way, and maybe call your congressman and let them know as well. As always, remember, if you miss any of the show, make sure you grab the podcast, share with your friends, subscribe, comment, and make sure you give us a 5-star rating. As always, very helpful. We'll take a quick break right back after this. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk. Think Tank approved corporate news and commentary? Are you tired of CEOs telling you what to think, who to hate, and who to vote for? Well, welcome to the Rick Smith Show. We don't take orders from some boardroom, and we don't do focus groups or talking points. We don't work for them, and we never will. I'm Rick Smith, and I work for you. Join us daily at thericksmithshow.com and download the podcast and never miss a minute.
You're listening to The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
You know, it's interesting that Scott brings up the, or Mike actually brought up Germany and Scott as well. You know, I remember, you know, and this has been years, you know, Germany went all in on solar. Their billboards on the side of the road, those are huge solar panels. Your communities, that the entire community, every house in it, every store, every business had it in there, because what they would done is, I remember, you were able to sell back anything you generated. Communities were, you know, subsidizing their tax base by selling back the excess energy that they were creating back to the grid. And I think it was something like 6 times the going, whatever the rate was. So, like, if it was a penny a kilowatt hour, let's just argue that's what it was. I don't know what it was, but let's say it was a penny. You got 6 cents back. So the incentive was to produce and conserve and then, you know, sell back, because, you know, they clearly, the energy company wouldn't then have to produce from other sources. So you were literally producing the energy for the energy company that they were then spreading out across the grid, which, you know, was helpful for the entire country that they would use in other ways. And I remember saying years ago, and this is going back, you know, 7-8 years ago, that I was talking about this, maybe even 10 now that I'm thinking about it. Why can't we do stuff like this? No, actually, it had to be 10, because it was right around the time that we put the solar panels on our house. And we did that back in 12, because the state of Pennsylvania had a sunshine fund. If I remember, the Obama administration had some money to do it. So we got some subsidies in both places that made it a lot more affordable. Now, granted, the state of Pennsylvania completely boogered it up by not having the energy portfolio meet the demand. So what had been the solar energy renewable credits, the SRECs, at the time we bought were like $225 a credit. So for every kilowatt hour you created, you got like $225. It's down to like $7 now. It's almost not even worth, you know, tracking and doing the paperwork to get. But back then it was, because it was a significant portion of the state's energy portfolio. But Republicans, again, here in the state didn't bother to increase it at all, and had no interest. In fact, if I remember, there was only one Republican, Representative Ross was his name. And I don't think he's there anymore. But he was the only Republican that was pushing to increase that, because he understood, look, New Jersey across the river, they're getting like $500 a credit. And the solar industry there is booming. There's nothing in Pennsylvania. There's not much left. In fact, the company that put our panels on, you can't get them to come out and service anything, because there's no money in it for them, because there's no industry left. And this is why you have to have the policy to back it all up. You have to have the parts. You have to have the production. It's all got to be here. And, you know, I've got friends in California who say, yeah, it's booming out here, because the policy, the production, the brain power all have to be there together. You can't have one and not the other. And this is where, again, I keep coming back to. It's smart policy, sound investment, and good people. You can't miss any of that. And you certainly can't have lobby groups who are trying to kill it off or take the low road, which is why I think, you know, the lobby group for the solar industry just wants the cheapest inputs they can possibly get so they can make the most money off of it. At least that's my thought. Love to hear yours. You can email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. If you miss any of the program, make sure you grab the podcast. Always there, always available. Also, share your thoughts with us by making a comment and leaving a rating. That simple.